Well, tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness. And when I looked at the schedule a couple of months ago and I saw that Wes had assigned me a to be determined, those are like the worst because I like just teaching the next passage. It's really hard for me to pick which one when I have a to be determined. But this is a lesson that I had done before, and I don't believe that you have heard it before based on my records. But it's important, especially going into the camp season. I'm always reminded of the story of the youth that I found out his senior year that someone did something to them on camp in seventh grade, and they never forgave that person. I mean, you've changed a lot since seventh grade. A lot of you have changed a lot since seventh grade. That's a long time to hold on to something, all right? And so we're going to look at what the Bible says about forgiveness. And our goal in this is realizing that forgiveness, all right, processing forgiveness gives you victory over sin. Processing forgiveness gives you victory over sin. What do I mean by that? Well, it motivates you, right? I have been forgiven much from the Lord, so then I forgive much. God has forgiven me, so I'm not carrying the condemnation and the guilt that I previously felt. I have been washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been forgiven, and now I am motivated to go do the work of the Lord. And that also in turn gives me confidence. Confidence. When I teach God's word and when I talk to people about Jesus and when I talk to people about correcting sin patterns, if I'm relying just on myself, then that's not enough, right? But I have confidence to do those things because I have been forgiven and because God will forgive them if they repent and believe in Christ. So processing forgiveness gives you victory over sin, but practicing forgiveness brings unity to our church. Practicing forgiveness brings unity to our church. Let's be real here, right? We are sinners. Even if you're a believer, you're still a sinner. And we're going to rub people the wrong way. And we're going to say things that we didn't mean or say things that were hurtful at the time. And if we hold on and harbor those things against each other, then we're just constantly battling and fighting. But instead, if I forgive and you forgive, that promotes unity within our church. Colossians chapter 3. Let's go ahead and start there, okay? Go to Colossians chapter 3. And there's a couple of different places that we will flip around to. And we know Colossians 3, as you've been working on your Bible quiz memorization, right? It teaches us the process for biblical change. If I have been raised up with Christ, that means if I'm a true believer, when I am tempted to sin or when I am in sin, I must set my mind on things above, remembering the cross, the forgiveness, God's sovereignty. And once I set my mind on things above, I then put off sin and I put on the righteousness. And when we get to verse 12, it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So Paul, while he's talking through this process for biblical change, he says, and by the way, if you're in Christ, you are holy and beloved of God. And the other people that know Christ, you have to make sure you are compassionate and that you're forgiving and that you're gracious with them. Practicing forgiveness brings unity to our church. You might already be thinking, and hopefully it doesn't saturate your mind the whole lesson, someone that has wronged you. Someone that did something that you didn't like. And do you still look at that person with that lens, with that view? We need to forgive for the unity of the church. But lastly, prioritizing forgiveness brings glory to God. Making it a priority to forgive and to seek forgiveness brings glory to our God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. And I know you're busy writing. That's why I don't hear those pages flipping. Matthew 18. Let's look at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And you're like, oh, I know this story. I remember this. But keep in mind, Peter thought he was being generous. If I have someone and they sin against me, should I forgive them like seven times? Seems like a lot, right? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, Jesus didn't mean that you take out your little notepad or you take out your phone, the I Forgive app, and you go, oop, boop, I forgive. And then when you get to 491, then it's no more. He was saying, no, you forgive. It says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. It's a lot of money. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, in repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and what? Forgave him the debt. He didn't say, okay, I'll take that deal. You repay me. He says, look, blank slate, man. Forgiveness. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii and seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, the exact same thing that the other dude just said. Have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened. Then summoning his Lord, he said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. If you truly have been forgiven, then you habitually practice forgiveness. And we'll look more into this, but it's not just when people ask for the forgiveness. You freely give forgiveness because God has freely given you forgiveness. And it furthers his kingdom. The first point on our outline is gotta have it. Gotta have it. And obviously we're talking about forgiveness here. I gotta have it. Have you ever felt the need to earn or to ask for someone else's forgiveness? Hopefully you have, right? Your parents said, curfew is at 10. You show up at 10:30 and immediately you know that you're in the wrong. All right, your sister said, never borrow my dress again, and then you borrow her dress and she sees it and there's something there. You break someone's video game, or you say, hey, I won't get you, and then you get them, or whatever it might be, all right? You say something bad about someone and then someone else finds out about it. And then you're caught in the crosshairs, and there should be that burning need to seek forgiveness. Well, when it comes to gotta have it, we first must start with gotta have it from God. We have to have God's forgiveness. That's where it all starts. You're not going to think the right way. You're not going to talk the right way. You're not going to forgive as you should forgive if you do not have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. All of your sins must be forgiven in order for you to know how to forgive. Forgiven from what? Well, the Ten Commandments. We know that, right? You clearly, and I clearly, have not worshiped God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and might. You've taken the Lord's name in vain. You have not honored and obeyed your mother and father. You have had angry thoughts towards someone, which is the equivalent of murder. You have lusted in your heart, which is the equivalent of adultery, and on and on and on and on. So we have broken God's law. We have broken his commandments. So we must have his forgiveness. Our righteous creator has created us to enjoy him, to obey him, to serve him, and we have broken his trust, and we have spat in his face, and we must seek forgiveness with God. Romans 4:7, Paul writes, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds." Do you see sin as a lawless deed? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. And we're going to look at a couple of word pictures here. Because remember, the basis for our forgiveness to others is God's forgiveness to us. This is how God forgives. It's like he took your sins and put them in a pile and he threw a blanket over them and he covered them. All right, they have one of those invisibility cloaks or something like that. You cannot see that sin anymore. That's how God forgives. So we're thinking, is that how I forgive? When I repent of my sin and place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God covers my sins. But not only that, in Psalm 103, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east," where's the east, people? Point to the east. Some of you, yes, the east. Lubbock is that way, which is west, all right? Old Dragon Stadium runs north and south, baby. That's how you can remember those things, okay? "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." So when do the east and the west meet? They don't. They go on forever. And so what he has done, he's taken our sins that far away from us. And so we learn, how do I forgive? I don't hold that sin and lord it over. It is as far as the east is from the west, just like God. Micah 7:19. "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot." Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I'm not a scientist, but the sea is deep. There's trenches and deepness and all of that stuff, and it's crushing. You can't even go down there, right? Just takes those sins, boop, and they're not coming back. They're not coming back. And think for a moment. If you're a Christian, you know your heart. You know how you have betrayed your Maker. You know where you have failed him, right? And it hurts and it cuts deep. That we would love our sin and we would practice that sin. But guys, when you repent and ask the Lord for the forgiveness, he covers it. He drops it in the ocean. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. What a wonderful picture. But if you are not in Christ, you can't earn God's forgiveness. Your sin is still upon you, and you are in God's crosshairs. One day you will receive his wrath because of your iniquity. We remember in Matthew 6 that's part of what? Part of the Lord's Prayer, right? Matthew 6, 12 through 13. "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Look at verse 14. "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So our relationship is kind of knocked off kilter when we don't forgive others. What about man's forgiveness? And that's what most of the lesson is for the rest of this time, is looking at man's forgiveness. And again, we go to the passage in Matthew 18. When Peter generously offers, "How much shall I forgive him? Up to seven times." And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 70. So I want you to go ahead and turn to Romans 12. "Be of the same mind toward one another." And so he's talking about Christians. He's talking about the church. And so you start thinking for a moment. Obviously, that is also the youth group here. All right? the bigger picture is the greater context of the church. But even though you have different schooling preferences, even though you live in different cities, even though you like different things, even though you talk differently, you play different games, even though you come from different socioeconomic backgrounds and all that jazz, our responsibility as one people is to what? Be of the same mind toward one another. Well, how do we get there? Whose mind do we pick? All right? Do we pick arts? Might be a little scary in there, okay? No, art's fantastic. All right? We pick the mind of Christ. The very word of God, the mind of Christ, is who we all say, I'm going to think like Jesus. You think like Jesus? You think like Jesus? You think like, you want to think like Jesus? Yeah, you think like Jesus. Let's all think like Jesus. And how do we know how Jesus thinks? The Bible. And if we're all thinking like Jesus, then we're going to be on the same page. We're going to do the same things. It says, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. To anyone. So our response when someone slanders us, or when someone doesn't invite us to something, or when someone leaves us out of it, is to talk bad about that person or to get even with them. You know what? You didn't invite me. I'm not going to invite you. You said that about me. I'm going to say that about you. That's the natural reaction, okay? You get slapped, you slap in return. But that's not what the Christian needs to do. That's not what we need to do. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends, be at peace with all men. Now, why does he say that? Well, with all men, not just the church, there are antagonistic unbelievers out there that they're going to keep coming at you and coming at you and coming at you. And you're not going to fix that relationship. You're not always going to make that hunky-dory peaceful. You're going to be loving and gracious, and you're going to walk away, but sometimes that peace isn't possible. Never take your own revenge. You see that toddler that gets that little special toy in the toddler nursery over there, and they're all excited until it's mat time when they got to clean up everybody everywhere, and they're just playing with it, and then someone else comes and they snatch it. And what does that toddler do? Excuse me, sir, I was playing with that. No! Dude, the beatdown is on. The beatdown is on. I'm going to push you down. I'm going to take it back. And we kind of laugh at that, right? Because it's a comical situation, but then we do the same thing. We do the same thing in a little bit different way. They targeted me, I'm going to target them. They left me out, I'm going to leave them out. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And you're like, yes, burning coals on his head. Oh. Your love and graciousness may lead them to the Lord. Yes, that's what you want. But your love and graciousness might be the very thing that infuriates them more. And it's not up to you to fix that. That's their own foolishness and hard-heartedness. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the idea here, all right? So how to get it? Gotta have it. I understand it. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to be in harmony with you. We're called to love one another. And a big aspect of that, especially when we spend more time with each other, like in a charter bus or something like that, is to make sure you're practicing forgiveness with them. But how do you get it? Well, obviously, God's forgiveness. How does the world teach that you get God's forgiveness? Every single man-made religion is centered around traditions and good works. Catholicism, Mormonism, Hinduism, Buddhism, all of them to some level or degree are do these good works, and those good works will please God, and they will cancel out the bad things that you have done. But God doesn't work that way, right? Colossians 1, let's flip over there. Some of you are longing for the days of Nehemiah where you didn't flip at all. Colossians 1. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's a beautiful picture, right? He sent his son to come and to rescue us from that domain of darkness and to transfer us into the kingdom of light. By repenting and believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have God's forgiveness. Look at Colossians 2:13. Paul goes on to write this. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions. How? Having canceled out the certificate of debt. Now pause for a moment. Unbeliever, you have a certificate of debt that God has written for all of your sins. Account all of your sins, all of your bad thoughts, all of your bad words, every time that you did not do what you were supposed to do. You have a stack, a certificate of debt. But Christian, that certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So when Christ was nailed to the cross, my certificate of debt was also nailed to the cross. I am forgiven because of the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 9:22, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was a high price that Christ paid, but he was more than willing to pay it because of his love for you. Now, what about man's forgiveness? How do you get man's forgiveness? Now, I do want to start out by saying sometimes you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You can go to someone and you can say, I am so sorry, I wronged you. Will you please forgive me? And they might tell you, no. Well, that stinks, right? I said the words and I actually meant it this time. It wasn't like when I was a little kid and when mom would say you're sorry, and I go, sorry. I really mean that I'm sorry, and they're not giving it to me. Well, that's between them and the Lord. That is between them and the Lord. There are some people, they're just going to go on hating. They're just going to do that. You can't change that. Pray for them. Share the gospel with them. But you're not going to change their heart and mind and perspective, but you've done what you need to do and what you're supposed to do. When it comes to the forgiveness of man, all right, our responsibility is to repent and express our sorrow about that sin. But then it's up to them on whether they forgive us or not. Let's talk for a moment about why don't I have it? Why could it be that you don't have it? Well, with God's forgiveness, it could be that you're not in Christ and that you have never received God's forgiveness because you love your sin. John 3:19-20. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. If you are not a believer, you simply love your sin more than you love God. You don't really get it that his wrath will be poured out upon you and that you need his forgiveness. You just want to keep doing what you're doing, how you're doing it. You also have a love of self. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. You don't want to come to God because you want to put on a facade and you want to put on a face and you don't really want to change anything. You like you in the way you do what you do and how you do it. So love of sin and love of self. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you it has been granted the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, otherwise they might return and be forgiven. In Jesus' ministry, when he spoke in the parables and the stories that had a point and stuff, the disciples were like, well, how come they don't get it? Or why do you speak that way? And he says, for those that really want to know, they're going to find out. But they don't really want to know. They don't really want to know, so those things have been hidden from them. What about man's forgiveness? Why don't I have it? All right? And I'm going to go back real quick. I'm going to go back and forth between how to get it to now, why don't I have it? All right? It could be, first of all, it could be your pride or obviously their pride. When it comes to your pride, all right, I'd like for you to go to Proverbs 6. And you can probably think through a scenario. Maybe it's your mom and dad. You did the wrong thing, but you just don't want to fess up. You just don't want to tell them. It could be a teacher. They graded it correctly, but you got all over them. All right, I turned that in, but you really didn't turn it in. It could be a friend, on and on. It could be a boss. In this scenario that you're considering, you have sinned against someone. It's not a debate. You have sinned against someone. How do you get that forgiveness? Well, if you're too prideful, you won't get it. Proverbs 6, my son, if you have become surety for your neighbor and have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth. You ever sent the wrong person the wrong text? Snared by your text messages. Do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle to the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Don't lie. You know what? I'm sorry. That was wrong of me. And that's not a reflection of my relationship to God. And I would ask for your forgiveness. So you've humbled yourself. You've given up. I'm caught. I'm guilty. It's like the criminal on the run. If you stay on the run, you give yourself up and you say, take me to jail. I'll take the punishment, but I please ask for that forgiveness. But it also could be their pride. And that's where it goes back to, as I mentioned before. There's sometimes that people don't want to forgive. They just want to keep hating on you. And you can't go on and live in that condemnation, right? Because there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You have done what you were called to do. You have repented and you have asked for their forgiveness. And if they won't get it, you just got to move on knowing that God forgives you. Well, it could be that you don't have man's forgiveness because of hatred. It could be because of hatred. It could be genuinely that you hate them or that they hate you, all right? So pride is a cause of things. There are certain people that kind of rub us the wrong way, right? There are certain people that don't think like we think and they don't talk like we talk. As a Christian, that can't be. It can't be. Like, you're called to what? You're called to love. You're called to forgive. So even if someone gets on your nerves, you still love them, right? And so don't let that stop you. Don't let hatred be one of the reasons why you don't receive forgiveness. It could be neglect, all right? You're just going to pretend like it never happened. You're going to sweep it under the rug, or you don't really see the importance in this, whether it's them or whether it's you. Those are all reasons why we may not receive the forgiveness and the restoration. And if you have a broken relationship with someone, maybe even someone within this room right now, maybe it's with your parents, and you don't have that right, you know, that forgiveness that's there, it's probably one of those things. Pride, hatred, neglect. And you don't want to hang on to that sin. That sin is like an anchor around your neck, and it will continue to ravage and to destroy. You always hear the story of kind of the bratty teenager, none of you. And because of their pride and because of this, they destroy the relationship with the overbearing, overprotective parent. None of you would ever go through that, right? If both sides would just put aside those things and seek forgiveness, then you would enjoy the beauty of those relationships. Well, let's look now at got to give it. Got to give it. Let's look at the perspective of someone has sinned against you. How do you do that, all right? You need to realize, first of all, that forgiveness is hard work. Forgiveness is hard work. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. When someone says something bad about you, or when you find out that everyone else wanted to hang out, except they didn't want you there, man, those things cut deep. They really do hurt. It's hard work to forgive people, all right? Is there anyone that you can think of, and don't write their name down because they might be sitting next to you. Is there anyone you can think of that you haven't forgiven? And let me go back real quick to those pictures of God's forgiveness. It's like he dug a big old hole and he threw your sin in it and he covered it up so you can't see it. He took your sin and he dropped it in the bottom of the ocean. He took your sin and it's as far as the east is from the west. Is there anyone that you have not forgiven? Is there anyone that you need to ask forgiveness from? Were you rude to your mom and dad? If you want to get them back, apologize. They'll fall down with a heart attack. Was this my kid? Is there someone that you need to ask forgiveness from? Now, let me give you a bad example real quick. This is not the opportunity for the young guy to walk up to the pretty girl and say, you know what, I am just so sorry. I've been lusting after you all night. Okay, no, okay? That is an excuse to kind of get your foot in the door or something like that, okay? No. There are times when it comes to forgiveness that some of the relationship that is there, all right, you don't actually have to open up your mouth to that person, okay? Hey, I just want to tell you that I talk bad about you all the time to my parents. I don't need to do that. I need to go to my parents and I need to say, you know what? I was wrong. I should not have said that about that person. But when I go to that person and I say that thing, then how does that make them feel? It hurts them, right? Well, they didn't even know about it. And you're working through those attitudes and stuff like that. Okay? And so if you're saying, hey, whatever it is, the scenario, there's examples that you just don't need to go there. And you don't need to say those things. And they're not appropriate to do those. Okay? But forgiveness is hard work. But also keep in mind that forgiveness is not optional. Forgiveness is not optional. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you. It's what we should be doing. All right? Guys, I'm not perfect. Your leaders aren't perfect. Your parents aren't perfect. The elders aren't perfect. We do things that are sinful. Until we're in glory with God forever, then we'll be perfect, all right? So we just need to understand that our responsibility is to love people as God loves people, to be kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, remembering that it's Christ who's forgiven us. Now, when it comes to forgiveness, is Christ honoring? It's Christ honoring. Luke 23:34, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Well, where is he at that moment? He's on the cross. And these people are hating him and despising him, and yet he is forgiving them. Acts 7:60. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. This is from our reading recently. Who was this that said these words? Stephen. So Stephen is just simply emulating Jesus Christ. And you also should be what? Emulating Jesus Christ. So you forgive as he has forgiven you. Big picture, all right? I would love for you to really take some time for those questions that I asked you and to think through, is there anyone that you need to ask forgiveness from? That you need to ask forgiveness from? To humble yourself to admit that you were wrong and to restore that relationship. All right? If there's someone that comes to you and they ask for forgiveness, how are you going to respond to them? Are you going to lord it over them? Or are you going to turn up your nose at them? Or are you going to graciously and humbly give that forgiveness? Let's pray. Lord God, we do love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is so gracious and kind and forgiving. Pray that tonight, as we consider our own heart, that we would first of all ask you to forgive our sins. And then knowing that we've received that forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would then go out and actively forgive others, being gracious and God-honoring in our interaction, Lord. And may we truly be a people that loves and cares and forgives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.